one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
We started the message, and tonight we're going to continue the message. And really, my heart was tremendously blessed.
Amen.
I went home praising the Lord for his wonderful blessing to my own heart. And I always have a feeling that when the Lord comes by to bless me, he doesn't pass you up. And I believe that the preacher who preaches the message ought to always be blessed if he's to be a blessing. Now, I want you people to pray tonight for this message. Tonight we'll start off with it, and I know we'll get to it. I've never preached on this chapter before. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 22, this is the farewell message of one of the greatest warriors, if not the greatest soldier of the Old Testament. And tonight, we'll get another glimpse of a soldier's heart. I mean, he, in many ways, was the General Douglas MacArthur of the Old Testament. He was a man after God's own heart. God permitted him to write many of the songs. I was reading today about Solomon. Solomon gave us some 3,000 proverbs, and he wrote over 1,000 songs. He wrote 1,005, according to the Bible. But you see, he was a man that asked God for understanding and wisdom. And God gave it to him. And with wisdom and understanding, he got everything else. And we need to be reminded that these men lived in days of limited revelation. I mean, they had no New Testament. They'd never really come to grips with a complete full gospel as we have it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They had not seen the New Testament sweep through the book of Acts with the power of the Holy Spirit and with thousands of people getting saved and with preachers and evangelists going across the Mediterranean world. They knew nothing about that. They'd never read the letters of Paul to the churches. They'd never read the book of Revelation. They didn't have the book of Hebrews. These men lived and died without many of the advantages that you and I have. And yet, I say with my head hanging in shame, this generation absolutely is doing the most miserable job of witnessing for God of any generation that ever walked on American soil. I mean, actually, we've let this nation and our generation get in the worst shape. Just like a little boy said, they were talking about what they wanted to be. And the teacher said, "Son, what do you hope to be 25 years from?" He said, "Alive." There's not much chance for anybody to be alive 25 years from now. I do not believe this nation will ever stand 25 more years of the pressure she's under. I believe that what we do, we must do in less time than a quarter of a century for Christ. And for the cause that's precious to our hearts. And so, in this chapter again, the 22nd chapter, David, of course, finishing up his message. Now, fellas and folks, it's not how you are while you are young or when you're in your middle age, but how you coming out. I want to know how this thing going to wind up. I want to be a happy Christian when I get to the end of the trail.
Amen.
I don't want to get old and bitter and critical and rotten. I don't want to be like that. I believe it's possible for God's people to live good in a bad world and to have victory while everybody else is having defeat. I looked around And I saw people with their beer bottles and beer cans. There they go. People look forward to the close of the day so they can go get a drink of liquor, a can of beer, a bottle of beer. I remember when I started preaching funerals, nobody would ever dare to come to a funeral saturated with liquor. But now then, it's a very common thing because it's the only crutch people know. I mean, they got to have something. I've had people tell me, said, "Brother Olaf, I'm a little embarrassed to attend my mother's funeral with liquor," but said, "I just couldn't make it without it." See? You know why? And if I was preaching a sermon on why people drink, there's just one reason. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and the fullness of the Spirit. If any man is filled with the Spirit of Christ, you'll never get him full of spirits. One spirit is enough if that spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Amen. And there are people in this building right now that drink alcoholic beverages. It's because you're not right with the Lord. Amen. No man can be right with the Lord and put poison in the body that doesn't belong to him. Because if you're bought with a price, we're to glorify God. And whether we eat or whether we drink, we're to do all to the glory of God. And that'll cause a lot of us to do a heap of thinking. I read where he said, we are to follow, in the book of Peter, we're to follow in his steps. Wherever Jesus stepped, I'm to step. All right? The second book of Samuel, chapter 22. David said, "The Lord's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. I'll trust in him. He's my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I'll call on the Lord, who's worthy to be praised." He said, verse 7, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." Now, he bowed to heavens, verse 10, "also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet." Now, verse 19, "they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." I stayed with him. I just stayed with him. And the Lord stayed with me. "He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." And verse 23, "for all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them." All right. That's the secret, I said, of his victorious Christian life. He said, "there's one thing I did. I stayed with his statutes. I stayed. I didn't let him depart from me. All his judgments were before me. I kept them all during my trouble while he wandered in caves and pits and while people despised and sought to kill him." He said, "I never did leave the word." He loved the word of God. That's our only hope. I said to the alcoholic, "just go into the city of refuge and stay 90 days. He's not going to get you the victory." I said, "if you don't get plumb full of the word of God, if you don't love the word of God, if you're not willing to cut off your television set, kick out your newspaper, cut off your magazine that's got filth and all that lust and stuff," I said, "listen, you're a desperately sick man. You're heading towards a drunkard's grave. I believe we need to jar the daylights out of them. They need, listen, if they're that sick, why don't we get them in the Word of God? Until they get filled with the Word of God, they'll go back to liquor. You put it down. I don't have any confidence in a man straightening up and flying right unless he has Jesus in him and the wings of angels on both shoulders. I mean, it takes the power of God for a man to overcome sin. And I do not believe that people are going to stand in this final day unless they put on the whole armor of God. And to me, the Word of God is the one thing that must strengthen us from the inside if we're to stand on the outside. And I tried to get it over him. I said, "now listen." Of course, he didn't know the books of the Bible. Every church member doesn't know the books of the Bible. I know this is maybe kindergarten in some of your estimation, but how in the world can you find anything in the Bible if you couldn't quote the books of the Bible? I mean, if you can't start at Genesis and wind up easily at Revelation and put the books in order, how in the world? You're not acquainted with the Word of God. If the average insurance man knew as little about his insurance book as we do the Bible, I'll guarantee he'd never make a living. You ask him what it would cost to get a $20,000 policy and what the payments are and so forth, why, he'll give it to you just like that. I believe that God's people ought to be experts in one thing, and that's the Word of God. I want you to bow your head and pray with me. I feel the need of prayer tonight. I want all of God's people to pray. Now, if your heart's not ready to receive the message, you ask God to forgive you for coming here unprepared tonight. You let the Lord melt you down a bit and open your heart and your understanding. You get hungry if you're not hungry. If you're sitting there thinking about some other place that you'd like to be tonight, you ask God to forgive you. You're in the right place. Amen. Now, you pray for me as I bring this message tonight. I'm coming up to, I think, one of the sweetest texts from the greatest soldier that ever lived in the Old Testament. You pray that if this is what you need, you'll take it tonight. and you'll receive the message, like receiving the engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. Pray for liberty and freedom and power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, we're not here to waste thy time or ours or the people's. We ask in Jesus' name that you'll make this blessed hour count. Make it alive with the very fire of heaven tonight. I pray that the word of God may run and have free course and be glorified. Oh, we pray that this old book will be sharper than a two-edged sword tonight. Pierce us, lead us, bless us, and caress us, and hug us to thyself, and give liberty. Lord, I can't stand to preach without the power of God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll anoint us. We've looked forward all day to this hour. We pray to rebuke Satan tonight and defeat the devil and give victory to every soul that's here. Bless the young people, mothers and daddies in every home. Sanctify this service to the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you a text. Beginning at verse 29. For by thee... For verse 29, for thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. God's people ought to leap and not to limp. We ought not to have to apologize for our life. We ought not to have to say, well, I'm not the Christian I used to be. I don't pray. We ought not to have to make a statement like that. I believe every Christian ought to grow in grace, and we ought to be greater Christians this time, this year, than we were this time last year. And so he said, I have leaped over a wall. We told you about the man that sat at the gate beautiful. And when he got his ankle bones to receive strength, because Peter and John said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he got up. And the Bible said he walked and leaped and he ran and he praised God. And he went in the temple. He headed into the place where God's people were when he got well. Now, I believe that the church needs to learn to leap again. I mean, there needs to be a fullness of joy in the church. Did you know that the person that doesn't praise God and be filled with the praise, did you know they're barren, B-A-R-R-E-N? Did you know that? Have you ever read over there where David was coming home and the ark was coming home and David was king and he forgot about his kingly dignity? I tell you, he began to really jump and leap and praise God. And his wife, you remember Michael? Michael looked out at the window and she saw the king. She saw the king. And oh, if he wasn't jumping and leaping. Finally, David came in a little bit later. And Michael stood there like sometimes a wife can and ought not to. And the husband can too. Michael said, you put on a pretty good show today, didn't you, King David? Boy, that was some dignity. I looked out the window of the palace. I saw you. Oh, if you wasn't really jumping high. Now, if that wasn't some deal for a king. Said, did you realize that that was vain and rude and crude? And David looked up at her and said, listen, you just wait. I'm not through dancing yet. You keep looking out that window, you're going to see me jump again. My leaping won't be determined by my wife. I'm leaping for God. Amen. And I mean, old brother David went back out there and he leaped some more and danced some more unto the Lord. Now, I could say this, that if he'd had one of those little old Israelite women in his arms and a bunch of filthy music was playing, and one of these little dance bands, I'd say Michael had a reason to charge her husband. But listen, he didn't have anybody in his arms but God. He was jumping and praising the Lord because the ark was coming home. And he was glad. That represented the presence of God. Now then, David looked at his wife and said, Michael, because you do not appreciate the praise, and you do not have the praise for the ark and the presence of God, you'll never be called mother. You'll never have a child. Just put it down. You'll never have a child. The curse of all curses upon you as a woman, as a wife. You'll never have a little baby to lay its little precious head on your breast. Never! Because you don't appreciate the praise of God. I don't believe there's a soul winner in this house but what praises God. I believe one of the biggest things that we're missing in our churches today is the absence of praise. People come without singing and leave without singing. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And the Bible said, we're to have the high praise of God in our mouth and two-edged sword in our hand. God's people are to be people of praise. And let me say something else. Praise is not just for the church house. Praise is for the home.
Amen.
Praise is for the place where you work. I guess that's one of my grievances I have against television. When it came out, all the women quit singing and started looking. You don't find women singing the songs of Zion anymore. You can't sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," while Hollywood is playing, "Oh, how I love hell."
Amen.
I mean, you just don't do it. I mean, you can't do anything when you're watching television except just watch it. You can listen to the radio, all the sweet music. You can just iron, you know, or you can cook and you can walk around and you can do your housework. See, I mean, you can still listen. But God's people were defeated when they let sin come in and then they quit praising the Lord. Women, I'm asking you to go back and get your oil bottle. You know what that is? Get your lubrication can. You know what that is? That's praise to God. Preachers, you'll die before your time if you don't praise God. And I don't mean that you've got to be a great singer to praise the Lord. But I tell you what you have got to do. You've got to be a great praiser if you're going to please God. I believe we ought to get up in the morning, and if I could just be simple enough to explain to you what I'm talking about, you ought to get up in the morning and say, "Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul," or "Praise God."
Amen.
I'm not talking about putting, I'm just saying, "Well, praise the Lord. Look here. I'm awake and alive, and another day is before me. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the wonderful rest." And I mean, if you'll wake up in the morning with some real praise for the Lord, you'll stand a lot better chance of going to bed with a lot of praise for the Lord. I tell you, we wait till we've had a ruckus or two with the devil and been defeated a time or two, and then we come in a whine and say, "Well, I failed again." Listen, start off right. Start off right. Praise God in the morning. We sang, used to sing at our church almost every Sunday. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontide. Praise Him when the sun goeth down. If you praise Him morning, noon, and night. I read where the psalmist said, "I wake up at night to praise the Lord." Wake up at night. Praise the Lord. Oh, I tell you, mothers and daddies, He's worthy to be praised. He said it's a good thing to sing praises unto the Lord. All right? I run through a troop. How? By thee. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. And He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arm. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Now then, I've come to my text. This is it. This is one of the sugar texts of the Bible. You hardly ever hear it preached. "And thy gentleness hath made me great." What made him great? Is there anybody here but what would agree with me that David was one of the greatest men that ever lived, man after God's own heart, won more wars than any man that ever fought the battles? David did. David didn't know what it was to lose a battle. And yet, he comes to the end of the trail. This is his final message. He gives his testimony. "Thy gentleness hath made me great." I want to speak for a little while on the need of the hour in the home and the church and the individual heart, and that's gentleness. Did you know you can't be a gentleman without the gentleness of Jesus? Did you know that we're running short of real gentlemen today? You know why? Because men are not gentle. You can't be a gentleman without being gentle. And you can't be gentle unless you've been to Jesus, because that's where your gentleness comes from. My daddy, though he's gone to be with mother now, but to me, he was a gentleman. I mean, he really was. My daddy, I can see him now. Those boyhood impressions my dad made on me, I'd look at him, I'd watch him. He didn't know I was watching him like that. We'd drive down the road, that old T-model. We'd pass the Gables house. You know what he'd do? He didn't just wave. He took that hat off. Morning. Smile. He took that hat off. Man, he tipped his hat to everybody along the road nearly. Every time a woman, he'd tip that hat. That old godly gentleman used to come by in that old Surrey. He'd come by and he'd take off that hat when he'd see my mother. See? Pull off that hat. Now, they were gentlemen. They were gentlemen. My daddy taught me, and I've always thought that you get on an elevator, some woman steps on there, man, just take your hat off. You know, it's a little hard now because sometimes they got a cigarette in one hand, cussing out of one corner of the lip, you know, and raising cane and acting cheap and just acting and got on men's clothes pretty hard. But I still find myself doing like my dad, take that head off. Gentlemen, you don't even use the word like it. Why, my daddy used to drive up, you know what he'd say, a bunch of men? Gentlemen. Well, boy, listen, you couldn't say that and tell the truth now. You drive up the average place, you holler, wild men. Vulgar men, devilish men, profane men, not gentlemen. I'm talking to you about something. Listen, I was kneeling by the bed praying. I began to weep and I said, Lord, I'm not gentle. I mean, I'm just not gentle like I ought to be. That's not it. I mean, people can irk you. I work with people that have been in so much trouble and they'll so disappoint you. And it's so easy to say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll let the hammer down on you. I'll just get you straightened out. No, that's not being gentle. I'm talking about something. And the Lord really did work on me about this matter of gentleness. How we need the gentleness of Jesus. I want to read you some scriptures. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, we've got to go to the New Testament to see the fulfillment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Think about that. Can you imagine a nurse taking care of her own children? Can you imagine a nurse being unkind to her little child? When a little child gets sick and somebody says, well, we're going to have a nurse. The mother said, I'm a nurse myself. Take care of my own. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. That's the servant of the Lord. That's the preacher. That's the deacon. That's the leader among God's people. Titus 3:2 said, speak evil of no man. But the Bible said we're to be gentle, showing meekness. Everyone that's a Christian needs to be gentle. I want you to turn with me to James, because this to me gives the picture of what real wisdom brings about in the Christian's life. And this is a part of what we have to say in the message. James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above, and that's the only kind that's any good. Worldly wisdom will kill you. Worldly wisdom is rectus. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. And notice, the wisdom that we get from God. Now, you know what wisdom is? That's Jesus. He's our wisdom. Now, when we have Jesus, we have purity, we have peace, we have gentleness, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Now, who in this auditorium or in radio land doesn't need that? He said it's without partiality. We'd play no favorites. And preachers, that'll be good for us. When we start hobnobbing with a little bunch, we get ourselves in trouble. The rest of the people suffer, wonder why. And so he said, it's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy, or put on, or sham. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Now that's a verse that could be the springboard, and we could dive into something. Notice what he said. Did you know that Peter and Paul recognized that there was slavery, but they didn't fight slavery as such? They preached Christ. And I'll have to say it when I come to it like this. Our big enemy is not communism. Communism's not going to enslave us until the devil gets us. No man will be a communist until first he becomes an infidel. And the reason a man becomes an infidel is somebody hadn't won into Christ. The way to stop communism is to get people saved. Amen. And if our churches will go to work for God and beat the bushes and knock on doors, and our preachers will get more interested in lost people than they are a bunch of saved people, we'll win more people to Christ.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today is David's final message.
Now, to receive the message on a CD, ask for offer number RO3304, 3304. To help us with shipping and handling, we ask for at least $10. We'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. To use your credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Our special offer for the month of April is Oh, to Be Like Thee, a collection of songs by various artists. Some of the songs are Jesus Means All to Me, Down the Sawdust Trail, I Want to Do Thy Will, O Lord, He Knows Just What I Need, The Fire Song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul, and several more. Now, when requesting this CD, asked for offer number 310, that's 310, and enclose an offering of $12. We accept credit card offers, so dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Again, that offer is Oh, to Be Like Thee, and the order number is 310. Again, the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Or to use your credit card, dial toll-free, 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you all have a good day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.